and I am the founder of a micro-information service on the web called Rohit.com, a service that I hope will one day transform the way you use the web. Yes, it's called Rohit.com. Tune in to KLOK 1170 every Saturday at noon, and we'll talk about everything it takes to build a company. Idea, recruiting, incorporation, market, bootstrapping, venture capital, intellectual property, and more. Tech businesses and non-tech businesses. We'll hear stories from people like you and me who have done this successfully. Call in and ask specific questions or generic questions and engage in a stimulating discussion about building a company. Sunna na bhuliye, har Saturday, dopahar 12 baje. Every Saturday at 12 noon. Sapne Salamat, Sapne Salamat, doston. Welcome to another episode of Sapne Salamat. This is a show that's dedicated to anyone with a dream. This is a show for entrepreneurs, for dreamers, for investors, for technical people and non-technical people. Anyone and everyone that has a dream. We are on every Saturday at noon. So as you know by now, this is a non-commercial show. No money has been paid or received for anybody to come on the show. The singular mission of this show is to promote entrepreneurship and to help you realize your dreams. So think of this show as a helpline for startups, if you will. And I guess having done this for a few weeks now, we've got a lot of requests for mentoring. And folks, I say, please call in and ask questions on the air. We certainly won't ask you to disclose anything that is confidential on the air, but we can still handle a fair amount of startup-related questions directly on the air so that others can benefit from it. We have been getting a lot of reach out from young entrepreneurs, so I also want to take a moment to acknowledge and thank all of these guys that have reached out to the show, and hopefully we've been able to assist some of them. We are happy to connect you to other folks in the fields, and we are always looking for more folks in this field. So we're looking for folks that are advisors, or we can connect you with people that have can give you legal advice or PR advice or fundraising, team building, co-founders. That's another very big area that we get a lot of people trying to figure out how to do and how to get help. So anyways, you can find more information about all of this on radio, on the email, via email on radio@rohit.com or on the web at rohit.com/radio. And if you have a question or a comment related to startups, we'll try to address it or we'll try and defer it to someone who can. Just feel free to call in at 408-912-5565. And folks, as usual, please remember to turn your radios down when you call. Otherwise, we end up with a feedback loop. All right, on to today's show. I think we've got a very interesting show coming up today. In the past, you know, we've talked about how to raise money. We've done the anatomy of a startup. We've talked about viral marketing. We've talked about how to create buzz for your company. We've had a bunch of celebrity guests. We've had serial entrepreneurs. We've had a professor of entrepreneurship and much more. In fact, we did a couple of episodes where we discussed the idea of MBA and the role an MBA plays in entrepreneurial journeys. So you can check out podcasts of that from rohit.com/radio. And as usual, folks, please feel free to challenge me. I've known to have made mistakes before, and I'm sure to make some more head. So with that said, give you a quick snapshot of some of the upcoming guests. We've got a VC or a venture capitalist coming up in a couple of weeks. He's a partner, general partner at one of the big Silicon Valley funds. So he will be joining us, and you can have live Q&A with him on April 10th. I think that's the day when he's coming on. We also have an intellectual property attorney who's coming up in a few weeks. So I know we get a lot of questions around intellectual property. We'll take those on that show again. And we've also got another serial entrepreneur who's done he's done 1, 2, 3 startups. Currently the CEO of a fourth startup. He's worked at Google. He's worked at Yahoo. He's worked at a bunch of different places as well. And so I'm going to have him come on next week, and he's going to talk about what it takes to build a startup, how to build a startup, and he's going to talk about he's done a company without funding, he's done a company with funding, And so that's sort of the plan we have for the future. Today we've got a very interesting guest who's going to be joining us in the studios in a few minutes. But before I dive into that, I also want to take a minute to apologize to all of you for last week when we didn't have a show. So I guess the weather got the better of me and I was down personally with a cough and cold. So I'm sorry, I was very disappointed to have not been able to come out, and I was quite touched by how many people actually emailed and said, hey, where's the show? What's going on? So please, sincere apologies. And I think, you know what? I'm going to do something else which is slightly different today. Something that many of you are actually, probably nobody knows, this is something very, very personal to me, is I do also write couplets and quartets. And I write these couplets and quartets in Hindi, in English, and in Hinglish. So at some point later in the show, I'm going to share with you a quartet that I just wrote extempore earlier this week, and we'll see if that makes sense to any one of you guys. Anyways, let's dive in. So our guest today is a gentleman named Raju Reddy. Raju is a fantastic entrepreneur, and we're going to hear the story of his entrepreneurial journey and why I think he's such an interesting guest. And I also want to share with you guys how I actually met Raju and how this has sort of come about. So Raju is the founder, CEO of a company called Sierra Atlantic. And this company today employs in excess of 2,000 people. So it's a very, very large corporation, if you will. And Raju started this company about 17 years ago. And so the way I actually got in touch with Raju was I sent out an email to folks saying, listen, I need good people to come on and talk on the show. And Raju was kind enough to volunteer to come out and say, you know what? I like what you guys are doing. I appreciate this. And he wants to give back to the community. So I am very, very appreciative for Raju for having coming out on the studio on this Saturday. So welcome to the show, Raju.
All right. Thank you, Rohit. I'm delighted to be here.
No, it's an honor to have you. So I want to talk about your entrepreneurial journey, and we can sort of see what folks are saying and how we all relate to each other's story. So why don't you start us out at the very beginning by telling us how you got started here on planet Earth?
Planet Earth, yeah, that's a long way back. Yeah. I guess like a lot of the folks that tune into this show, I was born in India. In a town called Nizamabad in Andhra Pradesh. And I did my schooling from a sainik school, Korukonda. That's like a military school. There's one in each state. And my dad at the time thought, a boarding and a military school in the early years is a good foundation for whatever I'm going to do in my life later on.
So let me jump in for a second. So colloquially, we have this term called army brat. Are you an army brat?
Well, I was, not quite, Rohit. I was one of those, I guess I would characterize myself as a misfit for the armed forces. So I wanted to be an engineer, and I came out and went into engineering. But a lot of my classmates, considering I went to a military school, they are, of course, senior Army, Navy, Air Force officers today. But I had the early beginnings in that sort of a boarding school.
Was your dad also in the Army?
No, he was an engineer.
Okay.
And it's kind of unusual that I don't quite think he was, intending to send me to armed forces necessarily as much as just having a, good foundation of a boarding school and a disciplined environment.
Right.
And he was pretty supportive of whatever I wanted to become. Partly, perhaps, just looking at my dad, himself being an engineer, in many cases, as in those years when you're growing up, and it still is today in India to some extent, we were told to either become an engineer or a doctor or maybe a lawyer. It made sense in some ways because those were about the only professions where people could get a job, partly. But, in my case, I went on to study engineering at BITS Pilani.
Okay.
And, came out of college, this is back in 81, I'm dating myself, and, came here to, came here for a master's degree right out of college. And
Many of us.
Yes, exactly. That was kind of the path, I guess, many of us who came to the U.S. in the early 80s took, right?
Right.
And I went to Virginia Tech, which had one of the considerations for that was, it had a $10 application fee, and my total budget was like about $30. And, so it did make sense. And
I could totally relate to that because when I was applying to graduate school myself, my total budget was $0. I am not kidding you. So I had sort of picked out 8 or 10 schools that I was going to apply to.
Yeah.
And I remember it used to cost $8 to report your GRE scores, and it used to cost $8. No, it used to cost like $8 for GREs and $6 for TOEFL to report your scores.
That's right.
And then there was the application fee, which varied from $10 to $100 for the creme a la creme or the Ivy League schools.
Yeah.
I basically photocopied my GREs, photocopied my TOEFL scores, had them notarized, and turned them in without an application fee. So I completely relate to. So you were, and you had a $30 per school budget.
No, $30 total, right?
So, $30 total.
Yeah,
total.
For application fee.
For application.
Yeah, okay. for the application fee, not the TOEFL, whatever, the scores that I had to send out.
Yeah.
I remember the UC schools actually back then had $50 application fee. A nice thing about UC schools was one application was good for all the UC schools. But like I said, $50 was still kind of...
Oh, it's very steep.
Yeah.
Especially when you do the conversion to rupee. Back then, it used to be, I think, like 13 rupees to a dollar or something like that.
And
probably more like 8 or something.
When you were doing $8, that's right. And, you know, luck would have it. You know, I had some seniors from my college who were at Virginia Tech. That certainly helped me sort of settle in. And then being in the technology field, you know, working with microprocess and all that back then, you know, California was naturally a place to look to for employment when I graduated from my master's. And, you know, I came and joined Intel, which, you know, certainly was one of, looking back, an extraordinary place just in terms of the management processes and all that, a great company culture.
And Intel was a fairly young company back in those days, right? Because there were still people like Zilog that were playing in the space, weren't there?
Absolutely. There was National Semiconductor,
correct.
AMD. They were all, you know, really formidable competitors back then.
Yeah, so Intel was not the 8,000-pound gorilla. It was probably the 800-pound gorilla, though.
Yeah, maybe 80-pound gorilla.
Or 80-pound gorilla, there you go.
Yeah, I'm talking about 84, so yeah.
All right, very good. I'm going to take a segue here because we've got a call on hold that's been on hold for probably 10 minutes, and we're going to see what these guys have to say, what their question comment is. And we'll come back and pick up on this.
Sure.
So, Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hey, actually, I have a request for you. In case you can put your show live somewhere on the web or something like that, you can put a link wherein we can go on the weekend or somewhere, listen to it, and get back. I mean, basically, I don't want to miss your show. So, is there a way that we can do that?
Thank you, caller. That's very kind of you. I'm flattered. Yes, you can grab past archives of the show. It's at ruhit.com/radio. That's ROOHIT.com/RADIO. And
okay.
We also have a podcast, so you can grab that link, drop it onto your iPod, iTunes, whatever, and you'll automatically get new updates of the show.
Okay. Is that live? Is there something live also?
We do not do stream live. We've sort of considered that, and I think given your call, we'll look into that again.
Okay, great. Great. Thanks.
Great. Thank you for your call. All right. So... we're back talking with Raju Reddy, founder of CEO of Sierra Atlantic, and he's talking about how he was born in India, came here in the early 80s, did a master's degree from Virginia Tech, and which has a very beautiful campus. It's one of the most beautiful campuses that I've seen in this country.
It does.
And so having done that, you then joined Intel as a young engineer.
That's right. So, you know, again, when I first joined Intel, it was like, being an engineer, I wanted to publish papers, and that's kind of what excited me, doing some cutting-edge work. Intel was a great place for that kind of work. And, you know, about, I guess, the late 80s or so, living in the Valley, you know, the entrepreneur bug kind of catches up, right? And, I mean, back then, we didn't have such wonderful shows like what you're doing. I'm really delighted that, you know, there is a show like this.
Absolutely.
I think it goes a long way in, you know, I think you mentioned Kanwal Ricky described this as a tie on radio, and I think that's a very apt description. Yeah. So, about that time, I moved into a marketing role. In fact, I did a marketing diploma at UC Berkeley. Again, I felt if I want to be an entrepreneur, you know, engineering background was good, but really any sort of exposure to the marketing side, to customers, why, what products, why they buy, things like that, that'll help me, you know, over a period of time. And looking back, I think that's been absolutely huge, you know, boon. And Intel also had a very good program called CareerLink that allowed engineers to move to marketing role. And about 93 is when I came out of, you know, Intel and started Sierra Atlantic. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, I've been fortunate to have had a great management team and great set of investors, board members. And we've been able to grow consistently. We are a little over 2,000 employees today. And, you know, so that's kind of at a high level, just my journey.
Yeah. I mean, that's totally kudos. I mean, I don't know too many entrepreneurs that run 2,000-person strong companies, especially in the tech area. I mean, at 2,000 people, you're a very, very large corporation. You may not be an oracle, but you're certainly pretty big. So really kudos, hats off for that accomplishment. And now you've started this in 93. Here we're sitting in 2010. So 17 years you've been running this company, which is also a very interesting story for a company that is privately held. Because in a period of 17 years, typically companies will have some kind of an exit that will happen or a liquidation event.
Very true.
And you haven't done that. So let's talk a little bit about the company. So you started this company in 93. Today there's over 2,000 employees. And you've raised some funding along the way. You've not raised any funding. You've completely bootstrapped. What has that journey been like?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So we, just very quickly, maybe I ought to just say, what is it that we do?
Yes, please.
We are a highly specialized IT services company, with about a third of our revenue coming from outsourced product development and two-thirds coming from IT application development, maintenance, in what we've called the new Oracle economy, broadly speaking, the Oracle ecosystem. So it's built around some IP that we have been able to leverage in this space. And so in the early years, from 93 to 99, we were all self-funded. I tell my guys there is a benefit to being undercapitalized in the early stages. It teaches you some good habits. Just to focus on customers and building value. And 99, Kanwal Ricky, who's kind of been a mentor to me and also came on as a board member, as he likes to put it, he came to me one day and said, "Hey, Raju, you can't launch a rocket unless you burn enough fuel." And that's typical Kanwal's sort of wisdom. And what it really meant is, the time was right for us to go out and get venture capital money. Yeah. And we raised $17.4 million back in 99.
Wow.
And we have not raised any capital after that. So all our growth has been primarily funded out of that and whatever internal cash accrual since then.
Right. Excellent. So I think as many sort of entrepreneurs in the Valley understand and relate to this, but I still want to spell this out in terms of how unique the story is. So you started the company in 93. For 6 years, you bootstrapped. And then you did what I'm going to call a Series A of $17 million.
That's right.
So typically when people start a company, one of the first things in the Valley people have tried to do is raise VC money. And the moment they raise VC money, then they go out and raise their next round and their next round and their next round and start marching towards an IPO, if you will, or some kind of an acquisition. And you, on the other hand, waited for 6 years before you raised your first set of money. You raised your first set of money, and now in the last 11 years, you've again not raised any money. So all you did was a singular venture round of financing, which is pretty incredible because... I may be a little bit jaded here, but I think a lot of folks get spoiled on venture money. A lot of entrepreneurs will take venture money and they just burn through it and they say, "Well, gee whiz, let's just go back to the well and do another round and another round." So you've obviously not chosen that route.
Yeah, what worked for me doesn't necessarily have to work for somebody else, in a different segment. There are certainly a lot of businesses where maybe it is the right thing to raise, more capital in a faster pace. But you're absolutely right, Rohit. I do agree. I think to a large extent, clearly, that was really what came out of the dot-com, bust, right? The boom and the bust.
Right.
Way too much capital was raised that just wasn't being put to efficient use. In our case, I think we have been able to maintain the discipline and, we've also done three acquisitions and built a, sizable campus in India. That's about $14-15 million. So we've been able to do all that out of our own internal, accruals and the initial capital that we raised.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Can you share with us what your annual revenues are like, or are you a privately held company and you cannot...
We are kind of getting, we are in the neighborhood of a $100 million company today. And
$100 million in revenues every year.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a mind-boggling number.
Again, most of our employees are really based in China and India.
Yeah.
About, 14.
And China.
China. Yeah, that's right.
I'm still trying to absorb China. I've seen lots of Indian entrepreneurs that come and have India connections. The first time I'm seeing an Indian entrepreneur coming out with a China connection. So are you the sole founder of the company? Do you have a Chinese co-founder?
No, I don't have a Chinese co-founder, but I do have obviously executives of Chinese origin.
Right.
Senior management roles within the company.
But are you the only founder?
I'm the kind of the founding member right now. Yeah, there was another founder very early on.
Who left early on?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So how do you end up in China? Everybody's trying to go to India. The Chinese are even trying to go to India. And here we have an Indian American who's gone to China.
Yeah, again, we certainly look at ourselves as a global company. There's no question about it. My
The world is flat, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for a lot of our customers, China is becoming strategic, or it already is a strategic market. So our view is, you know, we need to be in the geographies where where they are the major markets for our customers. And secondly, frankly, you know, there's a lot of great talent in China.
Right.
So I wouldn't say it's hedging your bets, but over a period of time, even customers are looking for a, you know, partner like us who has capability beyond just India.
Yeah.
And, you know, China is certainly, you know, one of the few places that has that kind of substantial scale, maybe outside of Brazil.
But, yeah. And is there a particular part of China that you focus your geographically you focus your company on?
No, we have a development center in a city called Guangzhou, which is in the South China. That's the third largest city in China.
Yeah.
And also a small team in Shanghai. But we have sales in Beijing also. Yeah.
And how big are these centers?
In China, we have 270 employees.
Wow, we have 300 employees there.
Huh? Yeah. We bought the company.
So you bought a company. So this is through an acquisition.
That's right. It was about 2.5 years ago. And
in fact,
my CFO and I went to China looking for, you know, it was one of those sort of build or buy kind of decisions.
Okay.
And we felt a buy decision in this particular case was, the right thing to do because we found the right team.
No, that's very important. Yeah. I think you've made a very good point. It's always a build versus buy, whether you're a services company or a product company.
That's right.
A lot of young entrepreneurs out there are always struggling with saying, like, you know, how do I do this? What happens? And what happens if the big 8,000-pound gorilla bakes? And my response always is, it's going to be a build versus buy decision for them.
Absolutely.
And if you are small enough and nimble enough, it's easier for them to buy you out as opposed to go out and try to build it.
Absolutely.
And I guess the same applies for services companies too, because by the time you set up your infrastructure and you find the right team.
No, that's actually, you bring up a very, very good point. Yeah, I think, and that's one thing I feel looking back, 17 years is a long time. Hopefully there are a lot of good things that I've learned through this time. But, you know, it is one of those things. Early on, partly coming from Intel, there's always this focus on building key differentiators and all of that, which is good. But scale does matter at some point.
Yeah.
And, and it takes a little bit of a leap of faith, sometimes to the entrepreneur that, hey, not everything has to be just done in-house. It's okay to, either outsource things or buy some capabilities or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how we did it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and start talking a little bit more with Raju Reddy, who is the founder of Sierra Atlantic, a large product outsourcing and services outsourcing company with about 2,000 employees. And we're going to be right back.
Have you ever received a link to a web page in your email? Or have you ever shared a web page with anyone? Stop! Do not copy, paste, and go through all the extra effort to show them what's relevant. Why not highlight the webpage before you send it or share it? Just type ruhit.com before any web URL. For example, ruhit.com/google.com. And your mouse cursor instantly changes to a highlighter pen. Just select any text you see, and it instantly gets highlighted in color. And what's more, it even gets a tiny URL that will take any visitor directly to the highlights on the page. It neither requires anyone to register nor to install any software on their computers. Anyone can use it. It's free and fast. No fine print and totally hassle-free. Try it out. ROOHIT.com. Do you ever search for anything on the internet? Ever use Google or Yahoo? Typically, you will go through several pages to find the information you seek. And it's only parts of a page that are relevant to you, not the entire page. So why not just highlight the most relevant portions? Everything you highlight is automatically clipped and saved for you. And the underlying pages are saved too. Really. And don't worry. At Ruhit.com, we magically do all this without ever asking you to fill out a form or to register for our service. And certainly, we don't ask you to pay for anything. So automatically save everything relevant to you forever. Startups. Do you have a startup company that you started and would like to get some free publicity for? Please contact us. We like to help startups. We are looking for a few startups to feature on an upcoming show. So if you're running a startup or have a friend who's running a startup that wants some airtime, feel free to reach out to us at radio@ruhit.com. That's RADIO@ROOHIT.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
To advertise on the show or to sponsor a segment, call 408-469-4192. Folks, advertisers spend about $20 billion on radio advertising every single year. So if you're looking for talent or looking to give your company exposure in the technology arena, then this is the show to advertise on. Get more bang for your advertising bucks. You can also email us at radio@ruhit.com or find us on the web at ruhit.com/radio. If you're looking to gain experience, this show is also looking for volunteers. You'll get an opportunity to interact with fabulous people and make amazing business contacts while learning skills from the masters, skills that will set you up for huge success in your own life. And if you like the show, make sure to tell your friends to tune in on Saturdays at noon every Saturday on 1170 AM KLOK. And if you work for a company such as Oracle, Sun, Google, Microsoft, Intel, go ahead and send out a company-wide email on your Dacy email alias about our show. And now back to our show, where our host is Rohit Chandra. Rohit is himself an active entrepreneur working on a Web 2.0 startup. Something you may not know about Rohit is that he's a visionary. He created the earliest social networking website ever called ecode.com, and he's a keen photographer.
Sapne Salamat, welcome back. We got you're live on air.
Hey, I have a question for Raju.
Sapne Salamat, my friend.
Hey, Sapne Salamat.
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, I want to know. Actually, I have a question for Raju. Basically, concentrating on the time when he actually had not started the company and he was really thinking about it. So, what went according to his thoughts and what did not? So, those kind of things I would like to know.
Okay, that's a very good question. Can I have the caller's name?
My name is Pankaj.
Oh, hi, Pankaj. Yeah, thanks for asking that. Yeah, again, you know, these things, you know, they don't happen overnight, right? And in my case, pretty much about, you know, 4 or 5 years before I started the company, that's, you know, prior to 93, I'd been thinking about it. And it's in that context I, you know, felt I came to the conclusion back then that I really, having the engineering background is not good enough and I really need to spend some time in marketing. And I went through a, you know, more of a formal program at UC Berkeley, which is, you know, taking some night classes at UC Berkeley and then moved into, you know, the role at Intel in a marketing program. They helped me build some, you know, key relationships early on with the folks at Microsoft and others. And I would say that went a long way when I, you know, started off the company. But, I mean, to a large extent, you know, you kind of learn as you go. And, you know, when I think about it, there is a, you know, a famous saying by the by Deng Xiaoping, who in many ways is considered to be like the, you know, father of the modern China, right? And the saying goes like this, not in Mandarin, which I don't know how to speak, but the translation is, you know, it's like as people asked him, what was it that sort of led him to the success that he had, right, in really reshaping China from a very poor, you know, a communist country to a country that definitely has sort of, you know, gotten onto the global stage over that 20, 30-year period. He described it as, it's a journey where it's like crossing a river by feeling the stones. Okay, So in other words, you may know where you want to get there, Pankaj, right? I mean, when you start early on. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it's like, yeah, sometimes you, you know, make a forward step, sometimes it's sideways or backwards, depending on, you know, how the stones are, right? And so that's kind of how I look at most of these things too. I mean, sometimes, yeah, it may seem like all these entrepreneurs had a very clear vision of what they wanted to achieve and they're, you know, kind of going down that path. But, you know, rarely do things quite work that way. To me, the two most important things were I had to have a business that somehow was connected with India. You know, otherwise it is just more of an emotional thing. And of course, I saw a significant business value in tying up, you know, with the folks in India, whatever. But also coming from Intel and my engineering background, there had to be some IP that we could use as a differentiator. So once those two things were together, then it's a matter of sort of, you know, getting out there and talking to different people and finding the right opportunities. But it does take time. It does help to prepare early on. And, you know, so I don't know if I answered your question completely, but, you know, to me, it was more of getting the academic background and spending time in a non-engineering role.
Yes, yes. I think I got the answer. Basically, you mean to say you had the framework and then you fit in the blocks.
Exactly.
As you pass on the time.
Exactly.
Very well put, Pankaj.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the help.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for your call. Great. So that's very interesting insights, Raju. So I had noticed a theme that seems to be coming up again in your words that I hear from you, and I want to sort of explore that a little bit. I hear Intel coming up quite a bit. Was Intel very formative in your thought processes? Was Intel very formative in your venture? Basically, the question is, what role did Intel play for you?
I think it did. Coming out of college, you know, it is a great place to learn about the kind of the management process and all that. You know, create the opportunity where, you know, I had exposure to a wide enough market, right? But interestingly, the work that I do has very little to do with Intel's core business. You know, IT services, it's Intel is a hardware company in many ways, and it was back then for sure, although it's trying to be kind of much broader now. But I think the management, you know, experience and the ability to work in both engineering and marketing roles, and frankly, to some extent, credibility. When you get out there, you know, it isn't easy. People certainly wouldn't return your calls the same way when I was at Intel. But still, I think it allowed, even when I was raising money or something like that, you know, having that background, I think, did help me. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All right. I'm going to open up the phone lines at this point. We'll keep chatting, and I have a lot more questions that I want to get from you, but I also want my audience to be able to start calling in. So the phone numbers to the studios is 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-5565. We are talking to Raju Reddy, founder, CEO of Sierra Atlantic, 2,000-person plus strong company in the product outsourcing and the technology outsourcing space. So I guess one of the natural questions that I have is, so you started this company. Now, how do you go about getting your first customer and your second customer? You know, I've seen product companies and I know how product companies scale. And I understand that model because, you know, it's sort of, to a large extent, it's almost automated. Whereas for services companies, it's not an automated. You have to have a sales force and you have to have a sales force that keeps scaling along with the business. And $100 million is a lot of money to be making for any company, not making, but in terms of revenues for a company. So I want to understand how you get to those levels and obviously starting from ground zero.
Sure. So the early break that I got was really, in our case, we worked with Microsoft early on. And kind of one of the strategies that we pursued was to, you know, find something that is really important or strategic to Microsoft and do that well. And that the relationship at Microsoft came through, again, some of the work, you know, that I was doing at Intel. And in that case, they were coming out with this what's called object linking and embedding. You know,
Olay.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Yeah, exactly, Olay. Olay 2.0.
Which later on became OCXs and is today still around, but it's just they keep rebranding the same technology.
Exactly. So, you know, we were one of the first companies to incorporate Olay into something that Microsoft, you know, showcased at their Comdex show. And that's where we got a lot of traction.
This is like, 93, 94. That's right.
Exactly.
That's exactly when this was
supposed
to be the cool technology.
Exactly. And we did a very similar thing again in about mid to late 90s with Oracle. Oracle had a very, aggressive program, I must say, to essentially move all non-Oracle databases, non-Oracle applications into the Oracle environment.
Yeah.
So earlier it was Sybase, then Informix, a whole bunch of other databases.
Oh, yes. And I remember those signs on 101 yep. for the fastest database north of this point. Because if you remember, all of the Informix and Oracle were both off of 101
exactly.
in Menlo Park and Redwood Shores, and they had these competing billboards.
Absolutely. Yeah. And later on, that moved into the application space, Siebel and Oracle exactly
yeah.
competing, and PeopleSoft, all of which have become part of Oracle now. But any case, so we invested in some technology to migrate those applications automatically. And, you know, so I guess if there is a theme here, pick something that's really strategic to a gorilla in your space. You know,
uh-huh.
it could be Cisco, Intel, Oracle, Google, whoever,
yeah.
and do that right, do it very well, and let them, you know, market the heck out of it. You know, so that, especially okay. in the early years, that worked wonders for us. Okay. You know,
I'm going to throw a comment out there because it's just is begging to be said in my mind. So what you're suggesting is to go and ape the gorilla.
yeah.
So we're going to take this call. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, good morning, Rohit. Sapne Salamat. My name is Vasu.
Sapne Salamat, Vasu. Thank you. Do you have a question, comment for us?
I have a comment. First of all, I'd like to congratulate Raju Reddy. So basically, I have one quick comment, Rohit. I like your show. I just want to give my perspective on one of the statements that you made.
Uh-oh. What did I do?
No, you said that, you know, there's a lot of Chinese, you know, going into India. So I myself have been working with a company and, you know, traveled to Shanghai, you know, multiple times.
Yeah.
Past 4 or 5 years. You know, I do see, you know, a lot of Indians, you know, showing up in China nowadays.
Oh, absolutely.
I do want to, you know, give absolute credit to Raju, you know, to recognize this talent. I think he mentioned the talent as the key word. So recognizing the talent and go where, you know, from entrepreneur point of view,
mm-hmm.
go where the talent is. So I would like to congratulate Raju on that.
Oh, thank you, Vasu. Thank you so much. And I completely agree. And, you know, one thing sometimes, if I may chime
yes,
in here.
Please,
yeah,
please.
You know, we take this thing for granted, but especially here in Silicon Valley, we're so used to, you know, working with different cultures. And, I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful, you know, environment, I tell you. We don't quite think about it. I mean, any large or even medium-sized company, on a typical day, you know, around the conference room table, there could be somebody of Chinese origin, Indian, you know, Eastern Europe, and sometimes, you know, people born in California too, right?
sometimes. Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think we are a lot more comfortable with that. And I believe that's actually a huge, huge asset that we have here in Silicon Valley. And so, you know, when I look back at it, that certainly helped me in integrating my team in China or India and all of that. And I don't quite tend to think of myself as sort of Indian or, you know, American or anything like that right now in this role, certainly.
If I may, just one additional comment. Again, right, you know, like I said, you know, I have been doing this the last 4 or 5 years, Raju, and I absolutely agree with you. And in 4 or 5 years ago, I don't see that many Indians, but now when I go to Shanghai, you know, I see a lot more Indians now, including parents and everybody, right? So
yep.
I see it's definitely, you know, people walking on the streets in saris and things like that. So,
yeah.
Just my perspective, Rohit, and I appreciate taking my call.
Thank you for calling, Vasu. Certainly appreciate it.
Actually, can I just
add one
more thing
very
quickly? And I know this, you know, just from a personal standpoint, my daughter actually, she went and, you know, she's in college right now, but I think it was in her final year of high school or freshman year of college. Yeah, she went and spent a summer in China. And I know there are a lot of people that tune into this show that are maybe parents and, you know, looking at their children. Yeah, I strongly recommend any exposure that you can create for your children. Certainly many of them would have with India, but, you know, China and even some of the other places, Latin America, maybe Brazil and all that. I think that'll go a long way, you know, as they get into their professional career 10, 20 years from now. I think that exposure will be can only be a big, you know, asset to them.
Yeah, I think you make a very good point. I will wholeheartedly and echo that sentiment.
Yeah.
I think if you can send our children out to get exposure to other cultures, because as I sort of commented earlier, the world is flat and we're really going more and more towards that direction. So what we're seeing in Silicon Valley is something that's sort of happening worldwide, in my opinion, at least for the next generation, where there will be total homogeneity everywhere around. And the more exposure the next generation can have to other cultures is going to help them now. Yeah. So, great. Okay, the phone number for the studios is 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-KLOK. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, my name is Rishi and I have a quick question.
Sapne Salamat, Rishi.
Sapne Salamat. So I just wanted to ask the guest regarding one quick question. So starting from conceiving an idea about a company, till the level what he is there, what he calls as an achievement, how long did it take for him? how long usually it takes?
Yeah, it took much longer than what you typically see in Silicon Valley, Rishi. Yeah, it's 17 years. I've been at it. I don't know if you caught on to the early part of the show, but for the first 6 years, we were self-funded, a little over 6 years. It was the late 1999-2000 time frame that I raised a bunch of money, and I made a lot of mistakes and still learning. So yeah, it's 17 years. Yeah.
Oh. Wow. That's nice to hear.
Yeah, I think Raju is being very modest when he's saying 17 years because I don't think a company that's making $100 million in revenues is 17 years. I think the success point happened a long time ago. He's just being very modest about that. And obviously, I think it says first 6 years self-funded, but I don't think $17 million will last very long for a 2,000-man company. Yeah, so my guess is in the last 8 or 9 years, they have been self-funded. That $17 million probably took them for a year or two tops.
That's true.
So. Very true. I think that's just his modesty. But anyways, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, also one more quick. So is it because you were self-funded that took more time or would it be faster if you raise money at the start?
Yeah, in my case, I just felt for the kind of company that we wanted to build, that we have built, raising additional money early on would not necessarily have been the right thing. But
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Great. Thank you for your call. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Oh, thank you. I have a question regarding venture capitalism.
Yes, my caller. Sapne Salamat, what is your name?
My name is Jasvinder.
Okay.
And I see, I believe your guest is very much pledged that he was a Virginia Tech and... he got all that thing and he went to higher studies over here. But supposing somebody who has not done that and he still has a great idea and he wants to do a venture capitalism, how can we achieve, like he said, he in the venture capitalism, he took $17 million. I was just wondering that how, if somebody has an idea and he wants to borrow some money and do that thing, how can we do that?
Sure. So I think, Jeff, the question is venture capitalism is sort of a whole concept and an industry, if you will. Your question, if I understand it correctly, is you're trying to figure out that you have somebody who does not have a higher education and
right.
You want to go out and raise some VC money so you can go and take your dreams to fruition.
Because he studied from Virginia Tech and he has all that people that know him and he has that boost from inside. Self-esteem is so high that you cannot lower that down,
I wish I could say that Virginia Tech or any institution out there could give you self-esteem. Self-esteem,
yeah.
as the word describes itself, comes from self.
Right.
Self.
Yeah.
And again, having a higher education is not paramount. You can look at lots of examples, right from Bill Gates down to Michael Dell. And I don't know whether that's down, but somewhere along that entire spectrum, a lot of these guys are college dropouts. So I have a suggestion for you. We're going to have a show on the 10th of April when we're going to have a general partner from a venture capital fund who will be here. I would highly encourage you to call in on that day and ask your question, saying, I have an idea. Can I raise money? Will you give me money? What will it take for you to give me money? And the other correction I wanted to point out was you're not borrowing money. They are investing money in you.
Yeah. Right, definitely.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, great. Thank you for
your
call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hello, my name is Surinder.
Surinder, Sapne Salamat, my friend.
Okay, I have a very general question. I've noticed that of the students who are in the sixth grade in school, by the time they go to college, 50% drop out. And there is no opportunity for them just to get minimum wage jobs. That's all they can aspire for. Now, out of these students, if they are given training right in school to become entrepreneurs, some of them might be having potential to become entrepreneurs, and not that they need a lot of money, Entrepreneurship can be at the grassroots level.
Absolutely, Surinder. That's exactly what we are trying to do with this show. So I completely agree with you.
And what I want to know is there an organization who kind of provides training to different schools for entrepreneurship? Because they never teach you in school how to make money.
Yeah, Surinder, this is Raju. Yeah, you know, there's actually a wonderful organization called NIFTY. I don't know if you heard of it. National Foundation for Teaching Entrepreneurship. You may want to look it up. And now their focus is really on schools in the inner city. Okay, I'd been associated with them for some time, you know, a few years back, and you may want to look it up. That's primarily here in North America, of course. And I know they're looking to start something in India. I don't know where they are with that process.
But do they have a similar organization in India?
I don't know the answer to that, but I know they
So I would have give you a charter, Surinder.
Okay.
Clearly, this is something that is dear to your heart. Why don't you take this upon yourself to find out about this organization? It's called NIFTY, Raju?
Yes, NFTE.
NFTE. Yeah.
Oh, NFTE, okay.
That's right.
So you can probably search for it, NFTE.org or something like that.
Yeah.
It's probably where it's going to be.
Yeah.
And so this is a national foundation for...
For teaching entrepreneurship.
For teaching entrepreneurship. So go find this organization, write an email to these guys and saying, I would like to see something like this started in India. Mm-hmm. I would love to have you check back in with us in a week or a month and say that, you know what, Rohit, we did this. We are on the way. We are going to open a chapter in India. And guess who's going to open the chapter, Surinder? You.
You know.
Oh, I have been in this country for the last 25 years.
Right.
And worked about 20 years in India and 25 years here.
Well, that's great background. Then you've got the perfect. Rohit, I think that's wonderful. I can see you. You're a real entrepreneur. Yeah. By the way, talking about it, can I just quickly shift gears here and just ask you, what does your company do? The Rohit.com. Listen to that. That sounds very interesting. Yeah.
I'll give you an example, maybe a use case in terms of how people use it. So, Surinder,
yeah.
Please stay tuned. I'm going to take this off the air.
Okay.
Thank you,
sure.
Surinder.
Thank you.
So, coming back to your question, so I'll give you an example of how people use it. Think of it as a yellow highlighter for the web. You know, we're all fighting information overload on the web, which is a lot of hard work, but essentially there is information coming on the internet every which way at us.
Yep. Yeah.
So, for example, if you go on Craigslist or if you go into especially we've seen it, the housing market on Craigslist. Any listing that you see that if you search for a highlighter, you'll find that on the listing itself, there is a highlighter button. That means anybody that's looking, so if you're looking to rent a house, for example, right? You take this code snippet, you drop it in. Anybody that's looking at your listing clicks on the highlighter. The moment they click on the highlighter, their mouse cursor changes into a highlighter pen, like a real physical yellow highlighter pen.
Wow.
So they stay on the page that they are on. They don't, they never have to sign up. They never download. They never have to do any of those things. And now then, you're looking at how you can sort of highlight the features about the house that interest you, that you said, okay, this is a four-bedroom house. It's got 3,000 square feet. It's got two bathrooms and what have you. So the idea is when you're on Craigslist, for example, you're looking for this house, you could go through 40, 50, 100 different listings. But everything that you highlight is automatically clipped, saved, and archived for you. So that means you go through these 50 listings, you highlight 10 listings that seemed
That's
of interest to you,
yeah.
And you go back and say, okay, show me my collection.
Yeah, yeah.
When you look in your collection, there are all the 10 listings that were of interest to you.
That's
so you
nice,
can now
yeah.
respond to those at the same time simultaneously, or you can further cherry pick and you say, you know, number 1, number 7, and number 9 are the three that I want to look at and I want to do something with.
Okay, got it.
Or you sort of take those three and you combine them and you show them to the wife and say, honey, this is the house I like.
Mm-hmm. So is this something, maybe something offline we can talk to, but is this something companies can use also for their own
Absolutely.
Websites and
Absolutely.
Corporates?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We've got literally tens of thousands of companies that have put highlighters.
So it doesn't have to be B2C, it can be B2B.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, think of it this way, if you're a news publisher, right?
Yeah.
There's X million news articles that are published every day, and every news article says print this article, email this article. What if you had a button right there that says highlight this article?
Got it.
So
that's excellent.
Yeah. So thank
Congratulations.
You. Congratulations. Yeah. Thank you. So that was our segue. Sapna Salamat, you're live on air.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Appreciate. I was just listening to your radio, and I was just listening Rishi and the other guy, the previous two guys, who were very excited. I'm not a computer guy. Let me tell you before.
Sure.
But those two guys were very excited. They have some great ideas, and they wanna just. Make it live, and they were worried about the venture capitalist companies. So I wanted to tell that yesterday I had picked up a guy from the city who was originally an attorney, but he left his profession, and now he's working on some idea which is like high-tech or computer-related. So I just dropped him at the venture capitalist company who was just funding them. So if you go on Google and you can find their big 5-7 venture capitalist companies in Menlo Park, Palo Alto. So you can make an appointment with one of the guys and go discuss that. You have a great idea. And they'll see the scope of your ideas, how useful right. or how better they are. Right. So I mean, those guys.
I'm going to cut you off for a second here, caller. What's your name again?
Paul,
I appreciate your input and I appreciate your suggestions, but I have a different opinion on this and I don't want to disseminate incorrect information out there. So I'm cutting you off only for that reason, because I think there are actually tens, if not hundreds of VC companies in the Silicon Valley. Many of them are on Sand Hill Road in Menlo Park. And it is not a matter of walking up to the door and making an appointment and getting in the door. Typically, these guys are very, very busy people. These are very important people. So the best way to get in touch with one of these guys is through somebody who knows them. They literally get thousands. I understand and I respect what you're trying to say. But at the same time, I want to be true to my audience and my listeners.
That's very true.
Yes.
Let me tell you, another thing is, once you have an idea and you're a little scared, someone will steal your ideas. For that, there are law firms who patent your ideas before you start information.
Again, Paul, I think that is off the mark. I think ideas are very freely available. Patenting is methodologies that are patented and intellectual property attorneys that do that. Now, that is something where there are, again, hundreds in the valley and you can walk in and make an appointment and they will see you and they will give you probably a free initial consult. But that sort of comes down to your own personal individual credibility at that point. But anyways, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hello, Rohit. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, my friend. Sapne Salamat, who do we have on the air?
Wonderful. My name is Raj. I'm from Fremont.
Yes, Raj.
I've been listening to you guys for a while now, and I just had a question. I have a small company, and I just don't want to disclose the type of the nature of the business I do.
Sure.
You say it's an entrepreneur. You spend like 5 years. You know how hard it is to start, and you have to coming from like a budding one, work hard, and after 5 years, most businesses in the United States, on an average, if you die before 5 years. If a company survives 5 years, and if they have to look for another 20 years, what is that you tell yourself, and how is that? For example, you share your story, when you hit 5 years, money is okay, reasonably good money coming in, life is good, but the dream is not complete yet. How do you kick yourself back and say, I want to be here, how do I rejuvenate myself, and what should I do?
I'm going to throw this at Raju because he has a lot more experience than I do.
Well, yeah, Raj, I've been at it for 17 years. I think the point that you made, I don't know what the actual statistic is, but yeah, it sounds about right. Most companies don't quite sort of live past the five-year period. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it really comes down to the entrepreneur, right? I mean, what is it that you want to do with your life? And for me, connecting with India and all of that was very important early on. And, you know, things do change, of course, over a period of time. I'm trying to think now. It is only 2006, I think, we did our first acquisition. So for 13 years, we did not do any. And in the last 6 years we did 3, and we'll probably close another one in the next month. That is also as an entrepreneur, you're constantly learning, and in my case, I looking back at it, I would say it's just really up to the individual, and oftentimes that also depends on the people that you surround yourself with, because that's where you get a lot of these good ideas on sort of how to keep things going or growing and all of that.
Okay.
Great. Thank you for your call. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, this is Satyajit.
Yes, Satyajit. Sapne Salamat, do you have a quick question, comment for us?
Yeah, just a quick question. Raju said that 6 years he went without any investment. So can he share a little bit on, how 6 years seems to be a very long time for anyone to survive without any venture money? Or when do you really call it quits? Or how do you keep on going? And like, how big was his company? How he was able
to... Sure. I get it. I'm going to let Raju answer, but but I think your question, Satyajit, is very symptomatic of Silicon Valley thought processes, which I think have gotten polluted by people expecting to take venture money. Venture money is, you know, this is a services company, and even for product companies, there is no reason why you should not be building revenues. So anyways, I'll punt it to Raju because he's the expert.
Okay, again, cool. In my case, I was, you know, fortunate to come out of Intel with a reasonable cash cushion that I didn't have to worry about supporting my family for the first year, maybe couple years, right? But after that, like, you know, Rohit said, absolutely true. You know, it's got to be self-funded, definitely in services business, with a lot of product companies that can do that too. But you can't achieve some scale that you want to, you know, without raising venture money. That was the case with me. And oftentimes, even to attract some top quality management team, it does matter. You know, when you get the venture money, I found that I was able to attract people that I could not otherwise.
And how big was your company at the end of 6 years?
Oh, boy, about $15, $20 million, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood, yeah.
And in terms of personnel, how many employees?
Yeah, that's pretty small. It is primarily about 120, something like that, between India and here. Yeah.
Cool, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for your question, Satyajit. Okay, folks, we are running out of time here, but a couple of things I did want to mention. So, somebody over here in the studio is pointing out to me that I haven't shared my quartet. So, a little sheepishly, I'm going to share my quartet. Ki. Din ke ujale mein tum bhaag jaate ho apne sapno se. Suhani shaam ko fir nikal aate ho ye sapne aise. ऐसे जैसे ये सपने नहीं पर वो भमरे के अमृत जैसे जिंदगी बहुत है इसे बीतने ना दे कहीं भय से सो द आइडिया इज रियली आई एम ट्राइंग टू कम्युनिकेट ओवर हियर सेइंग फोक्स प्लीज गो आउट एंड लिव योर ड्रीम्स गो आउट एंड लिव योर ड्रीम्स लॉट ऑफ यू गाइस हैव कॉल्ड इन टुडे एंड हैव एनकरेज्ड अस अप्रिशिएटेड अस ऑन द शो एंड आई सर्टेनली अप्रिशिएट दैट फोक्स दिस इज अ नॉन कमर्शियल शो दिस इज अ शो फॉर एंटरप्रेन्योर्स फॉर इन्वेस्टर्स फॉर टेक्निकल पीपल फॉर नॉन टेक्निकल पीपल एंड आई थिंक द बिगेस्ट फॉर्म ऑफ एनकरेजमेंट दैट वी कैन गेट इज इफ यू सेंड आउट एन ईमेल टू योर फ्रेंड्स लेटिंग देम नो अबाउट अ शो सो दे कैन बेनिफिट फ्रॉम द शो रिमेंबर टू पुट आउट एन email maybe on your company's mailing list, whether it's your desi email list or your non-desi email list, but anybody that's interested in entrepreneurship, they would check the show out. We love testimonials, so if you want to give us a testimonial, you can email us those testimonials. And obviously, you can blog about us. You can leave comments about the show on our own website because that's the best way for us to get appreciated, and we really, really enjoy that. On the air, we really want to have limited time. We want to focus most of our times in actually answering real questions. What else can I tell you? I also wanted to tell you that, yes, please, if you like the show, please put a status message on your Facebook, LinkedIn, or what have you. And so, fundamentally, this show is to encourage entrepreneurship. And I am very, very appreciative of Raju having come out on the show. Also, sponsorship. If you have know people that are interested in reaching an audience of entrepreneurs, of technical people, of a very white collar, if you will, the show is definitely looking for sponsors because, as I mentioned, this is a non-commercial show and any help that we can get will be much appreciated. I am very appreciative that Raju came out on this Saturday afternoon to come and talk to our listeners. I know I see our phone lines are still flashing, but unfortunately we've run out of time and I won't be able to get to any more calls today. But we will be happy to take more stuff offline if you're on an email, if you send it to us. And if you have any particular questions for Raju, I'd be happy to send them his way. And I want to thank Raju for having come out in the studios this afternoon. Raju, closing comments, please.
Well, Rohit, thank you so much. Again, I've really enjoyed this opportunity. And I mean, on such a beautiful, sunny Saturday afternoon, there's so many people who are taking the time to, you know, call in like this. I think that is very representative of Silicon Valley. I tell you guys, I mean, certainly I have people in different parts of the world and worked in different, you know, parts of the, moved around, but there's no place like Silicon Valley, you know. So go out and pursue your dream and good luck with it.
Great, thanks. And folks, before I wrap up, lastly, I want to mention one thing. It is tax season upon us. Everybody's looking forward to file tax returns. So please support our sponsors, Venu Prasher CPA. Check her out. She'll take good care of you and appreciate your helps. Sapne Salamat, my friends.
मेरे गम से खून निकलता है और बैड ब्रेथ भी आती है।
You need a gum specialist, Panu Dental.